Good morning.
Actually, I began preparing this word about 3 weeks ago because I knew the traveling routine was going to be grueling. And so I had it all prepared and marinating on it in Kuala Lumpur and marinating on it in Manila and just put the finishing touches on it yesterday. But it's really good to be here. Who's glad to be here this morning? No, really true. I tell you, I love this people. I love this church. There is no place like home. Isn't that true? It's great to visit extended family and travel Europe. Been to Europe in September and then got back for the 1 week and then over in Manila. I love what God's doing amongst our Asian people. The reason I was there and I was rooming up with Pastor Weong, he's still there. He's doing extra kind of research and learning. Every time we go to a church, we want to get into the inside and ask a lot of questions, in particular, next generation leadership with what God's going to do and is doing amongst our youth and our campus. But he's still over there, praise God. And we went with Darwin and Bernadette, the leaders in Tauranga, just to infuse them with encouragement, because it's tough. It's tough when you're on the forefront of a new church plant. And so it was just wonderful, traveling together, snoring together, sleeping together. It was really, really cool. But the reason we were there was just to huddle up with the other pastors. So there were 450 delegates from over 50 countries. Even a few South Africans slipped in, people outside of the Asia and Oceania. It was just incredible. I love our spiritual family. I love our ethos, I love our mission and what we're all about, honoring God and making disciples. I tell you, the highlight for me was hearing all the reports. The whole of Asia, Oceania is broken into hubs. So Oceania is a hub. Indochina, Cambodia and Burma and all these other, and then you've got China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and then you've got all these different countries, Southeast Asia, Central Asia, all the stars, Kyrgyzstan, I can't even remember them all. Incredible, but what was a highlight for me was when my brother Tandon, who's from Bhutan, a dear brother, who's not long out of prison because of his faith, prayed for all the others who had been imprisoned. Incredible. Beaten, tortured, persecuted, to be in the room and then to lay hands upon one of them to pray for them. You're short of words when you realize that most of the Western church is lukewarm and limp-wristed and lacking in power. These men and these women who endure hardship for the sake of Christ is beautiful. Gloriously beautiful. And so it's a real joy to go there, be trained, but I tell you what, it's great to be home with my people and my family. So yes, seven of us are shooting off tonight. One or two are already there over to Brisbane for School of Empowerment. So learning about the gifts of the Spirit, growing in that, not just in theory, we're going to hit the streets, get into evangelism, but we really want to see the manifestations of the power of the Holy Spirit more and more in our lives and in our church. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Man, I want to see dead people raised up, literally. Don't you want to see cancers? Don't you want to see more and more of the physical manifestations of the power of God? Amen. And so we need to learn how to host the Holy Spirit, walk in His power. And so we wanted to really, we're sending a leadership team there to really grow in that, come back and encounter nights, especially daily lifestyle, but also we want to disperse that and distribute that. So watch this space. All that we do needs to have the touch of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that true? Well, it's been 7 weeks since I've preached. So I feel sorry for you right now. Oh man, it was great. Didn't Elvira do marvelous the other week? We had Pastor Bruce, we had Infe, we had Ghani, we had Pastor Weong. I feel like I'm missing someone else, but we've had a bunch of different preachers. Who else? Nu, Fa'amanu. That's right. So it's been 7 weeks. And so it's been great actually to have a rest because it takes a lot of work to put together the sermon, but it's also a joy to be back and to open up the next portion of Scripture. Amen. Are you ready? Let's pray. Father, You are a good God. Actually, You're the only God. Jesus, Yahweh, You and You alone rose from the dead. You and you alone paid the price for our sin. We honor you in this place through the unpacking of your word, through worship, through our conversation, through our fellowship. We honor you, Jesus. And I just want to declare it into the atmosphere that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And Lord, we pray today that your word would penetrate our heart. It would go beyond our ears, that it would go deep into our heart, and that it would seep into our daily choices and the way we live. Let us somehow today pierce through the distractions and grab a hold of your perfect life for us. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Now that was super gay. Come on. In the name of Jesus, thank you. There we go. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you listening? Praise the Lord. Well, I've come with something massive. The Lord has put in my heart a word for you. It's big. It's exciting. It's personal. And if you get a hold of it, it will change your life. It will change you profoundly. It will change you deep in your soul. I know it's a word that we need to hear today, and especially some people who feel desperately in need today. I want to tell you what the message is. Are you ready? You want to hear what the message is? Do you want to hear what God wants to say to you today? You sure? Here it is. Are you ready? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry, be happy. We get so worried. I'm still worried about my dancing career launching off. We worry about the weather. I worry about the wrinkles on my face. I worry. What do you worry about? We worry about work deadlines. We worry about our health. We worry about our future. Oh, our future. We worry about whether people are going to accept us. We worry about how many likes we get on our Instagram. We worry, are we attractive enough? We check out our body image. It's amazing. We go to the mirror, we suck it in, we push it out, we look perfect. And as soon as we walk out, we just let it all go, don't we? We think we look like what we did in the mirror when we did our best presentation, right? Isn't that true? We're all worried. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? I think the most common worry in this room is money. Interesting. The portion of Scripture, the 10 verses that Jesus takes to teach us these two simple words, immediately follows a teaching about money. Pastor Bruce talked about it last week. Choose between money and God. Therefore, and he goes straight into his teaching about don't worry, be. Don't worry. I confess, I can worry. The last time I think I had a serious bout of worry was a couple of years ago. Some things, and I'm going to show you this morning, there's a difference between worry and concern. I'm not saying we live carefree lives like some kind of doped up kind of junkie, hippie kind of dude that everything's just I'm not talking about, that's not worry, that's foolishness. We should be concerned. We should put forethought and planning into things that are important. That's called concern. But worry is over concern. You see, concern is faith-based because I have this responsibility or this needs to be done. Let me plan, let me get my resources together and let's begin. It's faith-based, but worry is fear-based. Worry doesn't do anything for you whatsoever. Even Jesus tells us that himself. Worry is worthless. Worry is futile. It doesn't actually change the situation. Did you know that? If we just worry enough, somehow something will happen.
All that happens is we lose our sleep. All that happens is our heart rate goes up. All that happens is we get tension and headaches. All that happens, worry's worthless. And for a Christian, worry is absolutely needless. Needless. Worry. I forget where it was now, but I remember reading in a medical journey, do you know many illnesses and much of our hospitals is ultimately filled with people because of the origin of their manifestation, the symptoms in their body is actually, the origins of it is stress. Worry. Actually manifests itself in our body and in our minds. Worry. I remember about a couple of years ago, you may not know this or remember it for those that have been around, but I got a pretty serious infection. And I was in North Shore Hospital. In fact, no, actually, maybe even more than a couple of years because Pastor Weyoung wasn't long on staff. And within really a short space of time, you're going to have to run things. I was in North Shore Hospital. We didn't know what was up. They did all these kinds of tests. And yes, they asked these questions. Is cancer in your family line? Yes, with my mother. Yes, with my father. Yes, with my uncle. I mean, I'm going down the line here. And they talk about the C word. The C word. And I remember genuinely and sincerely feeling an overwhelming sense of worry. Actually thinking, what if this is it? Have I done enough for my kids? What will I say? I didn't quite plan the funeral. I didn't go that far. But it was amazing how your mind will go there. Especially when you've got a few drugs in you. I'm genuinely thinking, wow. Because cancer's throughout my family. I was genuinely worried. What worries you? So worry doesn't help us. So this morning, the title of the sermon is very simply, How to Overcome Worry. Now, does that sound good to somebody? Turn to your other neighbor, the one that you didn't want to talk to before, your less preferred option, and say, no worries, mate. No worries. I've already given you a definition that concern is very different to worry. This is not a carefree or, you know, kind of don't use this as license to be unorganized or to attend to matters. I wish more Christians were giving attention to things that mattered. I wish more Christians actually would plan and would actually set aside and actually be intelligent about their resources. Absolutely. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about intense worry. So here we go. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 to 34. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 to 34. Okay, are we ready to stand up for the word of God? Can we do that? These are words from Jesus himself, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I tell you, do not, this is the ESV version, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek, the pagans, the non-Christians seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But first seek a block of chocolate. First seek retail therapy. But first seek a bank loan. First, seek Google. Forget the Bible, man. What does Uncle Google say? First, seek comfort by relieving all your frustrations on social media. Please don't put everything on social media. This is how I feel right now. While I was in the bathroom, this happened. I mean, honestly. We don't want to know your bathroom habits. But I won't go down that path. And I so want to. Because I'm feeling so naughty. But first, seek the kingdom of God. And all and his righteousness. And all these things. What things? All the things we worry about. The haircut, the clothing, the food, the future, the tomorrow, my spouse, my job, my future. All those things. He hadn't forgot about that now. But he's saying, get this first thing right. And then I'll lead you through those and to those. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please take a seat. Hallelujah. Oh man, you're the man. You're the man. Hallelujah. I didn't get worried. I had total confidence in you, buddy. Okay. Hallelujah. Oh, you're awesome. I won't kiss you. Can I take that now? God is so good. He really is. You know, God could have said, do not worry, God. I command you, do not worry, I am God, full stop. He could have said it in one simple little verse, but he took 10 verses because I believe God, the compassionate one, understands our human tendency, our propensity, our condition leans towards worry, leans towards it. He takes 10 verses, which contains several living examples from nature to illustrate and reinforce the truth that he is fully capable of looking after his creation. Every time you see a little birdie, let that little birdie be a reminder that God can take care of you. He talks about lilies. There's so much in that text. We haven't got time to unpack it. I want to get the central theme and then zero in. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to really address, really deepen our hearts today. God understands. He takes 10 verses. He goes on. He repeats himself. There's repetition there because he's wanting it to really sink into our hearts. And I want you to know something. God means what he says. Really? I mean, I'm so used to hearing it at church on Sunday, but can I really trust God? Yes, you can. I want you to think about the audience that Jesus was talking to, up that mountain, all of his disciples, and I want you to think about the first century audience that were right there. These were not a bunch of dissatisfied Christians who were nervous and worried about whether they can afford an upgrade to the LG Smart UHD 4K 60-inch flat screen TV. They were not there worrying about whether they'll have their flash outfit for Friday night ball. These were Christians, these were people who were genuinely encountering daily struggles just to put food on the table. Woman couldn't work, so there's no dual income. Hubby's out of work, but she's got a job. No, none of that. In fact, the men, if you were a Christian back in those days and you had a job, your very job was being threatened because you're a follower of that Christ. No work and income office to knock on. Dun, dun, dun. Can I please have a loan? Going through a little bit of hardship. No credit cards. Let's just load that baby up temporarily and we'll pay it off later on when I finally get employment. No credit card, no work and income office down the road. No woman could work. The guy's job was being threatened. There's persecution in the workplace. They had genuine need and did not even know where the next meal was coming from. Jesus fully appreciates the situation, fully understands the real dilemma, the real issue right now. They had no gas in the tank. They had nothing. And he wanted to give them his most best and sincere advice. He wanted to give them a rock solid solution that they could bank on. What did he say? First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That wasn't just some Anthony Robbins little TED talk, pep talk, you know, kind of realign your faith. He is giving them their best, his best advice from God Almighty to first seek the kingdom of God. Here's my point. If God can meet the real daily needs of a large crowd, do you think he can meet your need? I just wonder if we took away our credit cards and our wins and we took away all our backups and all of our options and all those things we fall back on. We talk about faith, but really we manage things ourselves. I just wonder if we took all that away, how we'd really survive. As my brother, Tandon, and others who talked about being persecuted and imprisoned today. Pastor Dick from Vietnam, imprisoned today. I thought to myself, dear God, I don't want to admit it, but really what we need is persecution to sort out the sheep from the goats and who really trusts God. I was humbled. I was searching my own heart deeply about my trust and whether I would endure as they have endured. Do you think God can? I know the Christian answer, yes, Pastor, but do you believe that? Do you believe that you don't need to worry, that if you seek him first, he will take care of things in his time and his way? Felt needs are an opportunity for faith to grow. Verse 30 tells us that the real problem of all worry is a lack of faith. I believe the reason why so many of us worry is because we want control. We have expectations and we have entitlements. Things are so easy today. Access to things are so easy. I feel the tension in my own life. We actually think we deserve a mobile phone. We actually feel we're entitled to a whole bunch of things. Healthcare, car. We could go on. The reason for much of our worry is we want control. But control is God's job. That's why they call him God. He's been doing his job for a very long time. He's got it down to a fine art. He's an excellent God. In fact, he's the only God. He's our Heavenly Father. And he will look after you. Felt needs, real needs, are opportunities for faith to grow. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, not what he does. We have to put our faith on God's character, not just what we think he wants to do. We don't try to manipulate God. Our faith is based on who he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. George Mueller, who's a writer and author, but also he's responsible for rescuing thousands of kids from orphanage, set up an orphanage and rescue kids from the street. A powerful, powerful man of God. He says, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. If you're facing an incredibly difficult situation, an impossible situation, we just got through singing. If you're facing an impossible situation, I want you to trust God. I implore you today to trust God and press into God and seek God. I've learned through all of my years, there's only three answers to our prayer: yes, no, or not yet. Any good parent will not say yes to every request of their child. The only reason he'll say no is it's unsafe or it's unwise, or he'll delay, he'll do different things because there's something bigger and deeper he's wanting to put in our hearts. Amen. trust him. Press into him. I believe, praise God, that breakthrough is on its way. How do we overcome this thing called worry? It's very simple. Not easy, but simple. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, you guys have all heard of crowdsourcing, right? This is totally unrehearsed, by the way, because I didn't want some cute little rehearsed answer. Have you heard of crowdsourcing? People go to the crowd and they get enough money or they solve an issue. So I want to ask you, what does that look like practically? First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Great principle, but let's break it down. What does that look like practically in my life? What does seeking God first look like? Praise God. Willie, what does that look practically? Just one thing. I'm going to try and get three or four. There might be. What does it practically look like to seek God first?
First thing you do in the morning.
First thing you do in the morning?
Either prayer or getting into the Word.
Into the Word? Fantastic. Can you add to that, or would you reinforce that? What would you? Hold it nice and close.
Always priority God first.
See God first? Priority, yeah. Maybe through prayer. Can we get a woman? A good lady? Good lady. Where are we here? Amelia. What do you think, practically speaking, what does it look like in our daily lives to seek God first?
Your default should be Christ first when you find yourself in a difficult situation.
As in you'd pray or you would...
Seeking him.
Call out to him.
Praying, talking.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
Yes.
Being directed to him first.
Yes.
And allow him to minister to you before you take any other action.
Wow.
And find that peace within that.
Very good. And do you think that difficult situation, which we all have encountered, and we will this week, something's going to happen to someone here, do you think God's going to be surprised?
No. He knows about it.
Yep.
He was in the day before you even woke up.
Yes, that's right.
He was already there.
Maybe he even put breath in our lungs.
He does.
I think we might have sung that.
Yeah.
The sun and the star. He put the sun up there, didn't he?
Amen.
The earth rotating. Amen. I mean... Isn't this God holding our very lives together?
Amen.
Do you think he might have a plan for that unexpected bill?
Amen. Nothing surprises him. It surprises us.
Yes.
But nothing surprises him. And we have to rest in that.
Yes.
We have to get to that point.
Yes.
Where we realize when we seek him first. And I think because of my own personal life, you have to find peace in that. Resting in him.
Yes.
Not worrying.
Yes.
Trusting him.
Even when it's hard.
Trusting him.
Yes.
And it's almost fake it till you make it. Because we don't believe.
Yes.
That he's going to. But by faith, I've had to praise God and trust him with tears, through the heartache, through the pain. And that's what I mean when I say fake it till you make it. You don't feel like doing it, but just do it. Because he's God.
Wow. You could preach, girl. This is totally unrehearsed because I want us to go away with what does that look like? It means putting God first in our time instead of filling in the gaps. See, most of us here, no, that's a bit strong. Many of us here treat God like a genie. When we get into trouble, we go to the little thing, we give it a little rub and say, come on, God, and God comes out. God, I need help with the situation. And then we ask the genie to go back in the jar because we've got to live our very, very well-organized life. Oh God, I need help with the situation. Please come here. And we pull out the genie. So we try to control God. That means we are God. And this is not our real battle, is self. Many of us. And the threat presses upon my own heart to worship self, an idol of self. God says, put me first in your finances, but many of us don't. God says, I've given you the word of God. I've given the prayer life. We've got church. We had a whole sermon over in Bill just about the power of the gathered church. And forever, since the very beginning of time, the very beginning of the New Testament church, the devil has tried to prevent people from gathering corporately because that is where the power is. And so busyness and distractions and all these things, they come against us. This is the first day of the week. The first thing I want to do on the first day of the week is get into church. We want to produce more services so more people can get to church. I understand some of the pressures, but some of us have lame excuses. My point here is seeking God first. Look, you can tell by our finances. You can tell by our use of time. You can tell by where we put our things because we tend to always do the things that we really want to do. And I think this morning, which is where I'm wanting to go, is actually there's a deeper issue. There's a deeper issue. Who or what we seek first is who or what we love the most. I want you to catch this. Who or what we seek first, when we're in trouble, when pressure comes on, when anxiety fills our soul, what's the thing you run to for alleviation? For some people, it's excessive food. For other people, it's ODing on entertainment. For other people, at the extreme end, it could be alcohol. For others, they've just got to jump on their device. That'll give them their shot of dopamine. That'll just be their thing. They'll just vent online. I mean, what's the thing you go to? Is it the Bible? Is it getting lost in some your favorite music? I had a friend of mine who was right into early years of David Bowie. Anybody remember David Bowie? As an artist, I really like his stuff. I think he's incredible. His early Stardust stuff and Ziggy Stardust, if you remember. And he would, and I actually stayed with him for a while. This is Howard. He was big on, when he'd get down or things would happen, he'd turn all the lights off in darkness and turn up the early David Bowie stuff. Just get lost in this lostness, this vastness of emotion, this lostness of darkness in his own soul. He found safety there. It's amazing what we do to escape. We might look with stain and at some junkie on the corner shooting up, but really, we've got our own vices, haven't we? We just sanctify them and we look together, but we are addicted to other things. Mainly, a person called self. Who or what we seek first is who or what we love the most. Who or what we seek first reveals who or what we love the most. I asked myself a very dangerous question. As I was preparing this sermon, I got on my knees and I said, Lord, for all those budding preachers, you want to write down really good questions. What is in this text that we really need to hear? And I write down these questions and you answer the questions. What's Jesus trying to tell us? And I ask this question, why do many in my church not seek God first? Why do many in my church not seek God first? Very quickly, I found there were two groups. I believe there are two groups of people in this room. Two groups of people, maybe even on the stage. The first one is don't know to, and the second one is don't want to. The first one, don't know to. We so often forget, don't we? We forget that we got to seek God first. We all need a reminder, and we're busy in the daily grind of life. We get distracted. Well, today, I'm encouraging you. I want to tell you today, don't get worried. Make God first in your day. Make God first in your finance. Make God the first person, closer than a friend, who will understand. Just about 3 weeks ago, another bout of worry was coming on me. It related to Karaka Street, to be honest. I'll be frank with you. The financial pressure, the working bees, not that many are signing up, and all ultimately rests on me, and I want to lead out of a place of faith and lead, but I'm growing and stretching through the whole thing, and I was just pouring it out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I know what you said, but I can't see how it's going to work. And you know what God said to me? He said, Richard, you're only in chapter 3. It's a 12-chapter book. Richard, don't you like a movie where you don't know the twist at the end? Who wants to read a book when they know everything? That's what the tension, the expectation, the drama of a book unfolds chapter after chapter. But Richard, you only have seen chapters 1, 2, and 3 because you haven't seen the rest. Don't fret, because guess what? You look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. The Lord spoke to me. See, Richard, you're in chapter 3. Hang on to me, son. I've written the book. I know how the story goes. I've got everything covered. Don't worry. Thank you. I know that, Lord. Matthew 6:33. That's right. Seek first the kingdom. That's right. Sorry, God. I'm sorry for doubting. I'm sorry for getting in my flesh. I'm sorry for looking at the bank statement and limiting what you can do to our financial situation. I'm sorry for limiting what you can do to the number of volunteers that sign up. Lord, I thank you. I see that. But Lord, my faith and my view and my expectation is in an almighty God. And so you reminded me, son, I'm the author of the book and the finisher. And I've got everything in hand. So those today, maybe someone here today needed to hear that. Whatever you're going through, it will pass. Some of the most reassuring words in the entire Bible, and it came to pass. Problems have life cycles. And if we respond to them in the right way, we seek God first in it and through it, we can actually be elevated, we can grow, we can mature. If we look back on the hardships of our life, although we didn't want to go through it, we can look at it and say, wow, I became a better person. I became a bigger person. Can anybody say that today? Their faith grew. But there's also a second category of people here, and it sounds quite strong. But there's some people in the room who know Matthew 6:33. They've been in this church for years and years and years. They've even answered the question in the purple book. They could recite Matthew 33, but seek first the kingdom of God. But there are people in this room that don't want to, because they want to be God. And they get on what I call the worry wheel. When something goes wrong, they consult their connect group leader, a pastor or a Christian friend. And all those people do is ask them straight up, hey, are you in church? Are you reading your Bible? And usually, almost every time, no, 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 no. And so they point them back and they rush back with great emotion. They reconnect with God on 2 weeks later, because now the problem's been answered. Now they're back to the same old habit. And they just go cycle like this. These are poor souls that possess something that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to break in some people today. It's called a stubborn will. This takes a revelation of the Holy Spirit to, I believe, really do a deep work in our hearts. There's a stubborn will. The real solution for breakthrough for some of us is to yield and have our will broken to His will. God wants to lead you, my friend. God wants to use you. God wants to fill you by pouring the life of the victorious Christ in your heart. He has all power. Heaven today is full of worshiping the victorious Jesus. All power is found in Him. And yet, why do we not seek Him first? Because we want control. We want power. We want to do what we want to do. And the problem in us is a stubborn will. A stubborn will. The solution is to get our hearts aligned to His. A solution on our part is to get in a right relationship with Him. And the first thing that must happen to come into right relationship with Him and really experience His power and His peace and His joy is to have our wills broken to His will. Did not our precious Savior be broken? Was He not broken at Calvary, yielding to the will of the Father that we might be whole? Thus is an example for each and every one of us daily is to have our wills broken before Him. The Lord Jesus cannot live in us fully and reveal Himself through us until the proud self within us is broken. Some of us don't know that we need to put God first, but some of us do know, but we don't want to do it. And I say to you today, Would you bow your knee to Christ? Would you bow your knee to the will of the Father? What this means is that the hard, unyielding self, which justifies itself, wants its own way, stands up for its own rights, and seeks its own glory, at last bows its head to the will of God Almighty. It is so often, my observation as being a shepherd, it is often people, often self, that's trying to live the Christian life. It's often self, he tries to live the Christian life. And yet we all know it's entirely unfruitful. Our lust, our greed, our envy, our pride. Welcome to the Christian life. Being broken. Being humiliated, which means to be humbled. And allow God to totally use us as an empty vessel. It's a beautiful life. I'm giving you my best teaching. I'm giving you the word of God today. Jesus preached this very message on the mountain to a crowd of people who are in desperate need. And he said, first seek the kingdom of God. Have you come to a place, dear sir? Have you come to a place, madam? I'm talking to you, Christian. His sermon was to Christians. Have you come to a place of bowing the knee to his will in your finance, bowing the knee to his will for your relationship, bowing the knee that you'd actually begin to serve in the church, bowing the knee that you'd actually begin to tithe, bowing the knee and realigning your entertainment and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. The conviction of the Holy Spirit's in me. I can't do that anymore. I can't look at that anymore. Have you come to that point of yielding and breaking your very will? Or are we just going to do this nice Christian thing forever and still loop on our sin and our powerlessness, while a world without God looks on in and does not look at a church with authority and authenticity and victory? No, no, no. They look at a bunch of people who are just going through the motions and are religious. Oh, friend, why don't we begin to live the life where we can be filled with the power of God? But it begins being emptied. Did you know that? Satan rose up in pride. Jesus lowered himself in crucifixion. This is the path of the righteous, to be broken. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry about the things right now. Put them over here. First, seek the kingdom of God. Get in right relationship with him, and he will lead you through. And he'll give you even more than you would hope or dream of. Why don't we make that our daily lifestyle? Why don't we make that? You heard from other people here. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have a heart that wants to do that? Can I just remind us today, as I close, Jesus, the one who shared these very words of comfort and correction, he solved our biggest problem, did he not? Our biggest problem was eternal damnation. Our biggest problem was sin and going to hell. Jesus solved our biggest problem. He solved your biggest problem. He solved my biggest problem of sin. Surely he can take care of these other issues in our life. Trust the one who's saving you, my friend. Trust the one who calls you today to a place, a deeper place of walking with him. Today is a good day to renew our commitment to him and say, God, I want you to be first in my life. Let's close our eyes if we could. In fact, let's stand, if we can stand. This is what we're gonna do. I'm not gonna take a lot of time with this. We're gonna go back and we're gonna sing that last song, Great Are You, Lord. But this is what I believe we ought to do in our hearts. There are two camps of people. There are people that have forgotten about, maybe just gotten distracted. We can all do that. Today's a day of reaffirming that and saying, God, I'm sorry. I want to put you first. I've let things get out of control. Thank you for the reminder today, God. I want to get that right. But there are also people here today that if you're honest, you'll say, I'm a stubborn person. And I can't do anything other than advise you to call out to God. It's been God who's changed my heart over the years. Just owning and acknowledging my conditions. And God, I've got a stubborn heart. Pride is having its way. Please change my heart. What we're going to do, regardless of your condition this morning, regardless of what's pressing in your soul, as we sing this song, I want to open the altar here. And there's a point here. There's a purpose here. That it's by coming out to the altar, it's a demonstration of submission. It's a demonstration. And God, I want to seek you first. If you've been doing that, great. If you're in a good place, great. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about the rest of us. As we begin to sing, I believe, I want to create a moment here, I believe, for you to connect with God once again. Maybe you've got to repent. Maybe you've got to pour your heart out. Maybe thank God for the reminder. Maybe think about His faithfulness of past issues and breakthroughs. As we sing, will you bow your knee today? Maybe some have got to come and literally bow their knee and say, God, I want you to do something deep in my heart. Change me to the very core. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. We thank you for forgiveness, God. We thank you. We confess our great need for you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for these precious saints on the front and maybe others that haven't had the courage to come forward. Lord, I pray that we would not become an improved version of self, but rather a broken self. That Lord, we would be that clay put upon the potter's wheel. That God would be pliable and flexible and allow you to mold us, to shape our character, to increase our faith, to let us become the man and woman of God that we should become, that your perfect plan for our life. Oh God, would you break us to the very core? Lord, not an improved version, Lord God, of us, but Lord, a brand new version of you. Lord Jesus, I pray this over the people of God, that Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, your mighty work of the Holy Spirit would come and renew our minds, would come and to change our hearts, Lord, to change the very desires of our heart, that we might long for thee and serve thee and want to be with thee. Lord, we ask you, oh God, we cannot help ourselves. We cannot, oh God, we don't deserve it, but Lord, your grace, your goodness, and your power, Lord, would come, Lord God, and create a new creation within us. It began at salvation, but let it continue. That, Lord, you begin to build a new person. Lord God, you'd build us and mold us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. For where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Pray your blessing, Lord, upon each and every one. They're forgiven, washed and cleansed. Let us leave this place with a renewed zeal to know thee, to commune with thee, to learn from thee, to love thee. May your face shine upon us all, and may your peace go with us, we pray. In your precious name. And all the people of God said, amen. Amen.